The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, to continue with this week's reading of the verses of the elder nuns, the senior nuns from the ancient life, ancient world, it's a remarkable text called the Terigata. Teri means a female Tera, which is an elder. And in the monastic circles, you become a Tera if you've been a monastic for 10 years. So someone has been monastic for some time, but it's often considered to be someone who also has some seniority in terms of teaching. And and it's possible that it's likely that this is the most ancient, earliest human record that survives of spiritual religious poetry by women. And I call it liberation poetry. So it's a kind of remarkable testament. Some of the verses are quite inspiring, some to our ears, to our sensibilities, maybe not. But I think in the ancient world, it might have been much more meaningful. They had a different, very different context for all the poetry than we have. So this poem is called Moon. Well, it's not called Moon. The name of the nun is Chanda. And Chanda means moon. And I love the idea. Last night there was a full moon, and so the radiance of the full moon. But here is the story of the poem that she has. I was poor, widowed, without children, without friends or relatives. I obtained neither food nor clothes. Taking a bowl and staff, I went from family to family, begging for alms. Tormented by cold and heat, I wandered for 7 years. Remember, ancient India did not have a welfare system, social service system, and there was not the local shelter and homeless shelter for the or soup kitchen or. If you had no family, if you had no children to take care of you in your old age, that things were hard. You had to go maybe begging. So here she was, 7 years, she wondered, tormented by cold and heat. And then she continues, but then I saw a nun receiving food and drink. Approaching her, I said, let me go forth into homelessness. Maybe for her it was a matter of survival. If she's a nun, maybe she'd be supported. With kindness for me, she, Pattachara, allowed me to go forth. Then she advised me, urging me toward the ultimate goal. Hearing her words, I did what she advised. The lady's words were not in vain. I am free of taints and a knower of liberating knowledge, the three knowledges. So it's quite a life to live in poverty, live alone, wander around for so many years, seemingly no one's really stepping in to help her, give her a hand up. And then she meets Pattachara, who was the nun's poem that I read yesterday, her liberation poem, and who saw the foot washing water washing across the hill. And And Patachara, a very important early Buddhist teacher, invited her to be a nun. And to me, it's touching. With kindness for me, she allowed me to go forth. Her motivation to go forth might have been just to get food. She saw that the nun was being offered food and clothes, and she needed it, and so maybe that was the way. And Padachara accepted her, brought her in anyway, for whatever her reason it was. And then she taught her. And her words were not in vain. She became free. I was poor, widowed, without children, without friends or relatives. I obtained neither food nor clothes. Taking a bowl and staff, I went from family to family, begging for alms. Tormented by cold and heat, I wandered for 7 years. But then I saw a nun, receiving food and drink. Approaching her, I said, "Let me go forth into homelessness." She was already homeless, but that's what it meant to be a Buddhist monastic. It's you leave home. With kindness for me, she, Patachara, allowed me to go forth. Then she advised me, urging me toward the ultimate goal. Hearing her words, I did what she advised. The lady's words were not in vain. I am free of taints, a knower of the three knowledges. So here's another story of a nun who was quite challenged and troubled and suffering a lot. And it's really touching how many of these nuns came out of very difficult circumstances and had a lot of suffering. And their stories is that the way they found their way out of it was through Buddhist practice, being a nun. And this woman's name is Vasetti, and we're not sure what Vasetti might mean. It might just be a clan name, family name. But the way that the ancient etymology of words, it could also mean something like wanting clothes. Wanting clothes. Sometimes when people were in extreme poverty in India, they didn't even have clothes. So here she says, "Tormented by grief for my son, my mind was deranged, demented, naked, hair unkept. I wandered here and there, through streets, garbage heaps, and cemeteries. I wandered for 3 years, plagued by hunger and thirst. Then I saw the Buddha walking toward town. The tamer of the untamed, fully awake, fearing nothing. Regaining my mind, I bowed and sat down. Out of kindness, he, Gotama, taught me the Dhamma. Hearing the Dhamma, I went forth into homelessness. Practicing what the teacher said, I realized the auspicious state. All grief was cut off. All grief was cut off, abandoned, terminated. Now I understand the ground from where grief comes. The ground from where grief comes," she understood when she became free. And in ancient India, having a son die, if it's the only son, can make it very socially very difficult for a woman. A woman's back then, maybe status, place in society, place in family even was tied to having sons, and so her grief was not simply a grief of losing someone she loved, but was also the grief of losing a whole way of life, losing support, losing her place in society. Tormented by grief for my son, my mind was deranged, demented, naked, hair unkept, I wandered here and there. Through streets, garbage heaps, and cemeteries, I wandered for 3 years, plagued with hunger and thirst. Then, and I like this poem a lot because she's reciting it, she's composed it after she became free. Then I saw the well-gone one, the Buddha, walking toward town, the tamer of the untamed, fully awake, fearing nothing. Regaining my mind, I bowed and sat down out of kindness. He, Gautama, taught me the Dhamma. Hearing the Dhamma, I went forth into homelessness. Practicing what the teacher said, I realized the auspicious state. I realized the wondrous state of freedom. All grief was cut off, abandoned, terminated. Now I understand the ground from where grief comes. So you get a feeling, a sense of these poems and the life of these women, the challenges they're with, they have. And this is a time when there were no therapists, no antidepressive medication, no social services, people were really on their own with their suffering, their challenges, their torments. And in that context, these people, like Patachara, like the Buddha, would walk through society of the world, having attained peace, living a life of radical simplicity, renunciation. And modeling a whole different way of being that maybe others they hadn't seen before, that could touch something very deep inside of them. It spoke to them. It spoke to something that was ready to be born or come forth or to be realized. And here she says, regaining my mind. And she heard the Dhamma. And she practiced. And she became free. So this is a possibility for all of us. And one of the things to consider in these poems, these women made big choice to practice. They gave a big choice. They became nuns. They turned their whole life upside down to really give themselves over to this alternative that was being offered, an alternative to their challenge. It's quite an example, quite a testament to something very powerful that can move and be born and arise and gestate and germinate and grow in a human being. So may these ancient nuns live on in our inspiration, in our practice. Thank you.